It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
He'll hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know and it's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for the end of week news. So for that, we're joined by our friend covering the Jets for NJ.com, Mr. Daryl Slater. Daryl, it's a little chillier today, but still, I like the fact that it's not snowing at least.
Hopefully we are done with the snow. I am not bringing my snow shovels in from outside just yet. I will not be jinxing it for everyone. So, all right, I'll give it till Selection Sunday, the NCAA tournament, March 14th. And then I will bring the shovels in if there's no snow.
Daryl, you're better than Punxsutawney Phil.
Appreciate that.
So let's talk about this press conference that happened. We discussed it on the show yesterday with Nick Spano, but I was curious if you had any under-the-radar observations, because we did hit on the key points. Obviously, we know that Douglas is taking calls on Darnold. We've known that for a while, but this is the first time that Douglas actually confirmed it in public. He said that the team will be built through the draft. No surprise there. Indicated that the team needs to hit on its draft picks to be successful. As I said, that's GM speak. He can't come out and say, yes, I want to hit on my draft picks unless Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson becomes available. Then I'll trade draft picks for him. He can't say that because it's tampering. He still has Darnold, and there's no reason to give away what he wants to do and tip his hand. And then, of course, the other thing that was a key point was Marcus May talked about wanting to bring him back even after those bizarre comments that his agent made on Twitter. So was there anything else that you took away from that press conference that we didn't touch on yesterday?
I think that pretty much all covers it. I mean, my read on all that is those are the three main points, I guess. I'll just, real quick, my read on the May thing is, that's Douglas saying, hey, this is not a big deal. And it's easy for him to say that because they can just franchise tag May and kick the can down the road with when they get the contract on. And, I'm sure Douglas, he's a very even-keeled guy. So he's used to, agents doing things like Eric Burkhardt did and posturing. And it would not benefit Joe Douglas to get into a war of words in the media, with an agent like that. So he downplayed it, which is what you expect. I think the one point on May, I don't know if you guys brought this up, maybe May, it sounds weird, maybe Marcus May would be, I wrote this, would maybe he'd be better off playing this year on the franchise tag, which the number is like the same exact as last year's safety franchise tag number because all the numbers are down. We've been over this because of the pandemic. Maybe play out the tag and then revisit this next offseason, either with the Jets or another team to try to get a long-term contract done when teams have more money to spend, right? I mean, I can understand the player not wanting to play in the franchise tag. The franchise tag is almost never a good thing for a player and wanting long-term security and wanting it now. So I get that part of it. But there's that point with the spending. And there's also the Justin Simmons thing, which is, I think Ian Rapoport brought this up on one of his video clips that he posted on Twitter. I thought it was a good point. Justin Simmons is a free safety. Obviously, everyone knows that he's a really good player. Marcus May, slightly better in PFF's ratings last year among safeties. So if Simmons gets tagged this year for the second straight offseason and then maybe a long-term contract gets done, does that long-term contract perhaps set the baseline for what Marcus May wants? So I think there's a few different angles here for the Marcus May situation and how it might unfold. But from Joe Douglas's perspective, there's no reason to feel any pressure, regardless of what Eric Burkhardt is tweeting, because he obviously has a franchise tag. The more immediate decision for Joe Douglas involves Sam Darnold, of course. Yeah, he can wait on Marcus May, but I think with the Darnold thing, Joe Douglas was just verbalizing what he basically already said, I guess, in January when he wasn't committing to Sam Darnold. When he didn't commit to him, that basically said he's open for business. And then he went out and said that yesterday, which was a departure from what Douglas previously said. And again, like, who can blame him? Of course he should be willing to trade this guy. If you can get value for a guy who probably isn't a franchise quarterback right now, yeah, heck yeah, do it. Like, I think he should totally be willing to make this deal, as I've said, you know, several times on here. So there was that. And then in terms of the Deshaun Watson thing, like, I think we talked about this before we got on the air. We did talk about it because it was about 45 seconds ago. What do you, when you listen to a coach or a GM or a politician or any of these people who speak in public, the one thing you have to ask yourself is, like, what else would you expect them to say? So Joe Douglas saying he wants to rebuild through the draft or build through the draft is totally in line with what he's always said, right? If he went on there yesterday and said, we're willing to do whatever it takes to improve this team, big moves, whatever, that would be a departure. And to me, that would put the antenna up, like, oh, wow. Like, him saying what he said does not preclude the Jets from trading to Deshaun Watson. It's not a legally binding statement. He can go do whatever he wants. He didn't draw a line in the sand. And the other point, you know, with that is, if he went and said, we're willing to do whatever it takes, like, to me, that paints him as desperate in the eyes of the Texans, right? Why not play hard to get? Like, it's right. It's the GM's job to do things and say things that will most benefit him and the organization, right? So what most benefits the Jets? They don't want to give up. Joe Douglas doesn't want to give up a ton of picks. Of course he's going to say, I don't want to give up a ton of picks. Like, and of course he doesn't. He would prefer to get Deshaun Watson presumably for less than rather than more. With Sam Darnold, of course he's going to go on there and praise him yesterday. We think he's a great player, blah, blah, blah. We think he's got a guy. Of course he is. He's going to say, we think this guy stinks. And then, you know, then he expects teams to line up and give him a draft haul for Sam Darnold. No, that's not how it works. So you always have to look at the motivation behind what the guy's saying. And I think everything that Joe Douglas said yesterday makes logical sense. You have to look at the stuff beyond face value, as I'm sure you guys talked about coming out of that press conference.
There's a weird conspiracy going on, Daryl, and I talked about it on the show yesterday involving Zach Wilson. There are people on Twitter suggesting that JetBlue, because Zach Wilson's uncle owns it, is spending money to prop up Wilson's draft stock. And I guess this means they would have gotten to people like Chris Sims and Joe Theismann with their bribes. Now, I think this is a funny conspiracy. It made me laugh. But the one thing I will say is that if there is a conspiracy going on, Mel Kiper is apparently not a part of it. He was on a media conference call. You had the opportunity to ask him a question that was Jets related, and he doesn't seem super high on Zach Wilson, at least nowhere near as high as some other people are.
I would think the airlines have bigger issues right now than whether they're going to be using money to bribe people to – What is he going to give Chris Sims, like free peanuts or whatever? I don't know. The other thing you got to remember is, like, guys like Chris Sims and I guess Theismann to less of an extent, because he's not really – he likes the attention. But, like, Chris Sims, he gets paid to have, like, provocative opinions. He doesn't get paid to have, like, the same old opinion. And one thing worth remembering about that is I was talking to one of my colleagues about this earlier, and I'd have to go back and check it, but Chris Sims was really, really high on Lamar Jackson in that draft at 18. He was higher than most on Lamar Jackson. So, like, Chris Sims, like, knows his stuff. Like, I've talked to him several times before. He's a real nice guy who knows his stuff. So, you know what? Maybe Zach Wilson does wind up being a better player than Trevor Lawrence. No one really knows, you know? If we learned anything from 2018, it's that conventional wisdom isn't always right. So, who knows? I had not heard that JetBlue thing. But I had asked Mel Kiper on the call. He said, you know, you have the Jets trading down from 2 to 4, and you have them sticking with Sam Darnold and passing on Zach Wilson because you obviously don't think that Wilson would be an upgrade. So why? Like, what is it about Wilson that you say he wouldn't be an upgrade from Darnold? And Mel Kiper said that he had a higher draft grade on Darnold coming out, which, you know, I get, but, you know, you know what Sam Darnold is at this point, right, as an NFL player. The beauty of the draft is the uncertainty about Wilson. And from Kiper's perspective, the uncertainty runs more negative than positive, because not only is there not a lot of film out there, which, you know, everyone knows about Zach Wilson is, but also one point that Mel Kiper raised was, you know, they played a really weak schedule, BYU did, during the pandemic year. They're an independent team. They had to patch together a schedule. Their best game was Coastal Carolina. He said, which is, he's probably right, and Coastal was a pretty good mid-level team this year, and BYU lost the game. So I get those points. He raised another point about pitch and catch, which maybe was a little bit of a throwaway phrase, but that raised your antenna, right, about why about how accurate that phrasing was, right?
Yeah, because if you watch his tape, there were a lot of tight window throws. In fact, he was the number one rated passer on tight window throws in the country. So I thought it was a bizarre comment for Kiper to make. I'm not saying that you have to think Zach Wilson is the greatest quarterback of all time, unless, of course, you really are on the payroll of JetBlue. No one sent me a check yet, so I'm still waiting for that. But as far as the actual comment that Kiper made, I thought that was really weird. It's one thing to talk about the level of competition. That's a common refrain. But the pitch and catch comment, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't really have a chance on those conference calls. I think people got to understand there's like a certain – you can ask a follow-up question, but there's a certain like media etiquette on there that a lot of people are trying to get questions in. And Kiper goes real fast, and he gives his soundbite, or he gives his probably 45-second – quote, and that really is your only opportunity. So I guess I could have followed up with him on that pitch and catch thing, but I think he doesn't think as highly of the what he was being asked to do as you do. But no, I think to that point, I think what he's probably saying there is could align with what you're saying, like pitch and catch. I think he more so means like a pretty simplified college offense, right? Like a Clemson offense, which Trevor Lawrence played in. And a lot of these offenses are not super complex at the college level. And that's one of the issues with quarterbacks coming out is like, can you get them to read, go through their reads rather than do that spread type stuff, which a lot of NFL teams don't do, which is more simplified, obviously. I think that's more so what he was saying rather than that he didn't make tight window throws. That's my interpretation of what the quote-unquote pitch and catch sort of knock can be from these draft analysts. But, we got plenty of time to keep discussing all this. And actually, Mel Kiper is going to do another call next Monday. So I don't know if I'll be able to get a question in. Like I said, there's a lot of demand for his time on those calls, and they try to spread the wealth around people getting questions of them. But, and I don't know. I guess I could ask about something Wilson-related here. But we have a lot of time left before the draft where he's going to be doing a lot of talking about Zach Wilson, the Jets, and all that other stuff. So I'm sure there'll be plenty more comments to parse.
Maybe next time you can ask about Justin Fields so people don't accuse you of taking money from JetBlue, Daryl.
Yeah, I could do that.
It's weird, though, that Kiper would say that about Zach Wilson because it runs contrary to his colleague Jeremy Fowler's report on ESPN, where he said that the Jets were very intrigued by Zach Wilson. They like his game. They believe he can really spin it. That said, he did say that the team is nowhere near making a final decision at quarterback. It sounds like to me, though, Daryl, they've more or less decided to move on from Sam Darnold unless something crazy happens. Nick Spano said on the show yesterday that his Jet source told him that of all the plausible scenarios that could happen, Darnold staying is the least likely to happen. And that makes sense because when you shop a guy or when you at least let teams know he's available, a lot of times there's no coming back from that, especially in a situation like Darnold's where his confidence can't be super high to begin with. So that's what Fowler was talking about. He said there's a tier of plans, obviously tier number one, Deshaun Watson, tier number two, drafting either Zach Wilson or one of the other quarterbacks, whichever one they decide is the best for them once they finish their evaluation process. And then tier three would be sticking with Darnold. Does that more or less sound like what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. Like once you go out and say, we're listening to calls for this guy, there really is no coming back from that. Like it would be hard to envision the guy being your guy in week one next year. Once the GM has flat out said, we're willing to trade him. They hunger for sale sign on the guy, which they should. Again, they should do that. Like that makes perfectly reasonable sense. I think they should move on from him. He's not a franchise quarterback, I don't think. And as far as the Watson thing, I'm sure that they would, prefer that him to be their quarterback if they can get him for the right price. If the Texans somehow stick to their guns or want or somehow boost Watson's quote-unquote value, but you know, by pitting the Jets and Dolphins against each other and say, hey, we want four first-round picks or something, maybe that's too rich for Joe Douglas's blood, and I could understand that. Maybe the Texans say, we're not trading Watson. We're going to play this out. But here's the problem. Like, the Texans don't need to trade Deshaun Watson by the draft, okay? So, like, they can play this out and call his bluff all the way through the offseason, fine him to kingdom come for not showing up. It depends on how far they want to play this, right? It depends on how far they want to play this. So here's the issue there for the Jets, right? So on the flip side, though, if the Jets say, all right, listen, we're moving on, we're taking Zach Wilson, that's one fewer team for the Texans to shop Deshaun Watson to, right? Of course. So the Jets and the Dolphins are the two teams that have the most to give up in terms of draft picks. And once the Jets are potentially off the board, if the Texans keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, that could certainly lower the whatever the Texans could inevitably get for Deshaun Watson, right? Because that's one fewer team that with a haul of draft picks that can make a move for him. So it's a balancing act there. I would think that something gets done if something gets done by the time of the draft. Otherwise, the Jets have to, and Joe Douglas has to say, look, we can't sit around and wait on Deshaun Watson. They can't just say, oh, we're not going to draft a quarterback because we're going to try to trade for Deshaun Watson in June. Like, who knows? That may not happen, right? So that's the needle that Joe Douglas has to thread here.
And Peter Schrager throwing some fuel in the fire this morning on Good Morning Football, saying that he believes that the number two pick could be more valuable than the number one pick. I'm not sure I understand why that would be, considering that the number one pick you could get literally anybody you want, and the number two pick you couldn't get literally anybody you want. So I'm confused. But this is what he had to say. I think the number two pick is maybe even more valuable than the number one pick now because you have Sam Darnold and the Wilson buzz. I'm excited to see how it plays out. I don't know what they do yet, but I don't think they can make a wrong decision. They certainly are putting the time in to make the right decision. And he said earlier in that segment on Good Morning Football, this was not even a question a couple of weeks ago. Everybody thought Lawrence would go one and the Jets would either trade back or go with a different skill position player. Now the Wilson thing is real and adds a wrinkle to it. He said that teams have been calling not just about Darnold, but about what the Jets could do at number two. Apparently a lot of teams intrigued about Zach Wilson and could be looking to trade up for that pick. So if the Jets do decide to go with Darnold, it sounds like Ian Rappaport of NFL Network might be correct if what Schrager is saying is true, that the Jets could get a number one pick type of haul if they were to trade out. So they may not love Sam Darnold, but they could get an offer that's just too good to refuse and then stick with him basically by process of elimination, which would go back to what Nick Spano said, which is that it's the least likely scenario, but I guess it's not impossible.
You know, there's such a thing as overthinking this, right? I think I did a little mock draft last week of like, okay, so if you're Joe Douglas, you just have to go with your own evaluation here. If you agree with these other teams that Zach Wilson is a great player who would be worth that trade-up thing, then draft the guy. Stop overthinking it and thinking you don't win games with these like draft picks, right? I mean, I understand that. Look, I get it. More draft picks you have when you're rebuilding, especially when you have a lot of roster holes, is a good thing, right? But like, you just got to keep accumulating draft picks, and like, eventually you have to use these to get good players. And you have the number two pick, which you quote unquote earned by going 2-14 last year. So if you think there's a quarterback, if you like Zach Wilson enough, as much as those other teams do who are willing to trade up, then just draft the damn guy. I don't know if Joe Douglas feels that way, but like, you have to figure out at some point, you have to figure out the most important position in the sport. When is the last time a team, you know, made a serious run at being a Super Bowl champion without a legit quarterback? I mean, you have to have a legit quarterback. I mean, it's hard to just fake it and put it all together with other pieces, unless you have a really good defense, which the Jets don't have. So I understand the notion that, hey, why would you trade all these picks for Deshaun Watson when he's only one player, even though he's a really good quarterback, because you have all the other roster holes? Totally true. I get that. If you take Zach Wilson and you think highly of him, you can still use those other picks to address other roster holes. You can use the cap space that you'll have to address other roster holes. again, this all assumes that Joe Douglas really, really likes Zach Wilson. And I don't necessarily think the number two pick is more valuable than because Jacksonville could conceivably say, we want to trade the number one pick if all they're doing is looking to get draft picks by that logic, right? So I would presume teams think higher of Trevor Lawrence than they do of Zach Wilson, but they just all know that Jacksonville is going to not overthink this and they're going to take Trevor Lawrence, of course. So, yeah, I don't understand that statement doesn't really make much sense, but I think the more interesting thing there is that teams are really high on Wilson potentially and would be willing to move up, which has to be tempting for Joe Douglas, but maybe shouldn't be that tempting if he really likes Wilson, right? Like, just go with a guy and trade Sam Darnold.
Daryl, to your point about overthinking it, that strategy is what got Sam Hinkie fired as the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, and it's what got Sashi Brown fired as the GM of the Cleveland Browns. So sometimes it's good to accumulate picks, and sometimes you just need to make a decision. We'll see what Joe Douglas does as this thing gets closer, because the draft is creeping up on us, but free agency is creeping up even quicker, and there are some players that were available even before the start of free agency because they were released. One of them was J.J. Watt, who ended up signing a two-year, $31 million deal with Arizona, $23 million guaranteed. The Jets were never really in this, right?
Yeah, no, nor should they have been. I mean, that's a lot of money for J.J. Watt at this. I think what it amounts to is the true guarantee there is 20, which is a lot. I mean, the guy was going to get $17 million this year, right? And now he's going to get $20 million. I mean, it's essentially a one-year $20 million contract is how it works out. But you know, he made it good for him. I mean, you look at the track record and the injury history, and that's maybe too much to spend on a guy like that. So it's funny because I saw a tweet like, oh, J.J. Watt isn't the first player to like finish his career in Arizona. Edgerrin James, Emmitt Smith or whatever, Kurt Warner. They never won a Super Bowl. Right? I mean, like, they made the Super Bowl, obviously, but, like, what has it gotten them? Like, okay, great. So, like, has anyone said how good was the team when those – obviously, Kurt Warner did a lot of good things there. So, they have the pieces now with a young quarterback and DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt, who knows how much he has left. So, I think expectations will probably be higher. But I would have thought if J.J. Watt really wanted to win a ring finally after making a lot of money in his career, and I never fault the guy for taking $20 million instead of, what, 13 or 12 or whatever. But, Arizona's not his best shot to win a ring based on how they look last season. But you never know. Look, I mean, like, I remember talking to Boomer Esiason about the Brady stuff. I said, do you think Brady wins a ring in Tampa at all, like, ever? He's like, no, I don't think he does. I just don't think they're good enough. They won the Super Bowl. So, you never know. I know Kyler Murray isn't Tom Brady in terms of the winning track record, but you know, things that are unexpected always seem to happen in the NFL. So I suppose J.J. Watt could get his money and his ring, but yeah, no, I mean, that number doesn't make a lick of sense for the Jets to have been in on.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
A lot of things happen in the NFL that are unexpected, Daryl, as you said. But one thing that a lot of people expected was for Christian Hackenberg to not make it as a pro quarterback. And unfortunately for the Jets, he didn't. Never even played a down in a regular season game. Complete waste of a second round pick in 2016 out of Penn State. But now Christian Hackenberg is back around the game. He washed out of the AAF. He's not playing, but now he's coaching.
Yeah. Yep. He is a quarterback coach at Winslow Township High School down in South Jersey. And Atco is the name of the town outside of Philly. So, yeah, he actually has a home down there. I don't know whether he lives there full time in South Jersey, not far from their school there. And remember last summer he had said that he wanted to give it a shot being a pro baseball pitcher. I don't know what's come of that, or you know, certainly he can still work on that while doing this job, because obviously he'll be doing a quarterback coaching stuff in the fall and presumably off season stuff. But look, I mean, that's not a high demand, high money job. I mean, he's basically volunteering, and he made a good amount of money in his NFL career. I think $2.7 million, even though again, he never played a regular season snap. He was in that AAF thing for a little bit and flamed out of that. So I think he's he's come to grips with the fact that he's never going to play football again, and wants to remain in the game. So that school, Winslow Township, is actually where Sean Green went to high school. And I think one of the other guys on the staff and their offensive coordinator played with Christian Hackenberg at Penn State. His name escapes me. Yeah, I think that's the connection there. Not only was Christian Hackenberg in the area, but he knew one of the guys on the staff, and it will be coaching quarterbacks there. Look, here's the thing. Like, if people are going to make jokes about, like, oh, he wasn't any good. He wasn't good. So, like, how is he going to coach these guys? Well, it's high school. Who cares? Like, just let the guy do what he wants to do, number one. Number two, like, Jordan Palmer wasn't a good player, and he makes, like, tons of money, like, as a personal quarterbacks coach, right? Like, the notion that you have to be a great player, like, Cliff Kingsbury was a good, really good college player, never could cut it in the NFL, and he's an NFL head coach, as an offensive guru. Like, so, like, the notion that you have to have been a really good player to be a really good coach, I don't think is accurate. And look, I mean, it's not like Christian Hackenberg is going to need to be coaching these guys at NFL level at high school in South Jersey. So I would think that school could have done a whole lot worse in terms of a guy having a track record, even though he did not perform well or really at all in the NFL. So that's the next chapter of his career. And he's staying around New Jersey, I'd say the area. It's more so the Philly area, but that's what he'll be doing at least for this year.
Daryl Slater covering the Jets for NJ.com. Thanks so much for coming on. As always, really appreciate it. For those that want to check out your work, what are you working on over at NJ.com? And if they want to get in touch with you on social media, or if somebody from JetBlue wants to send you a bribe to pump up Zach Wilson, how can they reach you?
Yeah. At Daryl Slater on Twitter, at DarylSlater. I don't know if you can DM someone frequent flyer miles, but hey, I'm open to that. The stuff we're working on, it happened a few days ago, and it's kind of old news now. I don't know. Did it happen a few days ago? Tuesday night, maybe. So the Henry Anderson release, in light of that, I'll be doing a piece for tomorrow on, and these are familiar names to people who seriously follow the Jets, but who else could they cut? What's their cap situation now? How can they create more? They're about $76 million right now after Henry Anderson's very unsurprising release, considering that was such a terrible contract. And he didn't even come close to playing up to it. So that was the one no-brainer release. So now it becomes, what else do they do? And not just with Crowder, but like with their line, right? Like Alex Lewis, Greg Van Roten. What do they do there? Do they move on from those guys? How much cap space could they free up? So that'll be something to keep an eye on. And I'll have a little bit of a breakdown on that coming up here tomorrow, which is Friday already, which is crazy. Or is it not? It is Friday. I thought today was Wednesday. So there we are.
Losing track of days. Make sure that you read Daryl's work over at NJ.com. And if you are from JetBlue, as he said, go ahead and DM him frequent flyer miles or something, and he'll say plenty of nice things about Zach Wilson in the lead up to the draft. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, if you could go ahead and do that for us, really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.